been seeing my favourite Christian band from the 80s have reformed. Now, some of you wouldn't have a clue what I'm talking about, so I'll try and explain it for you. That's why I've got these armbands on today. It's for Easterfest to get in and get a free pass there. But Easterfest, the radio station I work for, Vision Radio, they booked me to do all these interviews and everything. And I got to interview the band that was the first ever Christian cassette that I had, a band called Whiteheart. Anyone here heard of Whiteheart before? Yes, yeah, so a few people. All right, that's good. So Whiteheart were like, I don't know, Guns N' Roses or Def Leppard for the Christian music scene in the 80s, right? And they did all these awesome Christian songs and worship songs. And when I first became a Christian, I was 15 years old. And I remember I went to a youth camp because there was a blonde girl who was going to the camp. And I was interested in the blonde girl. And I went to the camp and heard the gospel of Jesus, forgot about the blonde and followed Jesus instead. And then I remember I went back to the Christian school where Dan and I were at school. And one of my mates said, he noticed that I didn't swear anymore. I didn't talk back to the teachers anymore. I wasn't as, you know, I didn't smoke the cigarettes behind the bike shed anymore. And I didn't chase girls as much, I think was the statement that he used. But he noticed a change in my life. When Michael Van Zyl, a good buddy of ours, he said, I remember after that youth camp, everything changed. And I remember my youth leader gave me this cassette tape. And it was called Read the Book, Don't Wait for the Movie. That was the name of the Whiteheart cassette. And I used to think, what's that all about, you know? And it was about reading the Bible, you know, Don't Wait for the Movie, which is kind of funny because the Son of God movie is out in cinemas in May, which is all about Jesus from the Bible series. But anyway, so I was able to meet the lead singer yesterday and interview him in front of thousands of people on Easterfest. And then they got on main stage last night and they did a big thing. And then I did another forum with them later in the night. And he came up to me after the night and he said, can I get your card? I said, yeah, sure, here's my card. And he said, I love the way you say Whiteheart. Can I get you to record a little radio interview with your Aussie accent saying Whiteheart so we can put it on our album that we're working on at the moment? I'm like, yeah, come on. So it's like, yes, Whiteheart. Me and, you know, we're like that, you know. Another little interesting thing, they've been in the Christian music scene for years, you know, and you guys know me, I'm a pastor, I've got a heart for the gospel. I want people to talk about their testimonies and, you know, that's why I do History Makers and I get people to talk about why they love reading the Word of God every day. That's a big focus for me. Before I interviewed them, I prayed with them and sat down with them and just asked for a blessing on them and asked God to guide them and fill their mouth with the right words and everything. And you know what they said? They said, we have done so many interviews over the years and I can't remember many of them that ever stopped and said, can I pray for you? And they said, good on you for what you're doing. And it was just like, just an affirmation or an encouragement, you know, for what I'm doing, you know. Because I believe that God's given us the media as a platform to share the gospel. People love to hear people's testimonies and stories. And if we're not praying about it, if we're not pointing back to Jesus, we don't want to talk about fluff, do we? We don't want to talk about the weather and what kind of food you eat when you're on the road. And, you know, we want to talk about the real stuff, don't we, you know? So for me, I got to interview Whiteheart and Alabaster Box and all these wonderful Christian bands across the weekend. And so we're going back tonight for the big night. And you can watch it on the live streaming at easterfest.com if you're interested. So I just wanted to mention that today. And I'm a bit excited about it, can you tell? Yeah, yeah. We got home at 11:30 last night and I was like, that was such a good day, you know. Church tomorrow, that's right, I've got to preach. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. So anyway, I do have the best sermon ever for you today anyway. When I am weak, he is strong. But if you do want to grab your notes, what we like to do when we have a word here, we ask you to take notes. So whether it be on your tablet or your iPhone or whatever, please write down some of these quotes, some of these Bible verses, and study it afterwards. Because let me tell you, if you're relying on a 30-minute message to be your meat for the week, it ain't going to be enough. You've got to learn to self-feed, amen? You've got to learn to get into the Word of God, do your journaling, do your devotions, train yourself up in the ways of the Lord every day. So this is just the icing on the cake, the weekly sermon here. So take some notes and have a think and pray about this maybe this afternoon or tomorrow across the long weekend. So a couple of verses for you for Easter from some of my favorite preachers on the planet. Billy Graham, well-known evangelist, he wrote he wrote a book called Nearing Home, actually, which I gave to my grandpa about 6 months ago. And my nan just told me that he had been reading it before he passed away 2 weeks ago. A book about preparing yourself for heaven. And I'm like, yes, you just never know when that book that you give that relative could impact their life, you know. But anyway, Billy Graham, great evangelist, he said this: God proved his love on the cross. When Christ hung and bled and died, it was God saying to the world, I love you. It was God saying to the world, I love you. Now let me tell you, the world has got a messed up view of what love is. We've heard the song, haven't we? I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. We all know that song, you know. Everyone wants to know what love is. They think it's found in Hollywood on the movies. They think it's found at ChristianSingles.com, you know. They think it's found on Facebook, or they think it's found in, you know, speed dating, or they think it's found in this or that, you know. Everyone is looking for love in all the wrong places, aren't they? But let me tell you, one of the best bits of advice I was given as a young kid, I remember my youth leader saying to me, don't chase after love. Don't chase every girl that's blonde. You know, that's a really bad joke. I'm glad my wife's not here. I'll be in trouble. Don't just chase after God, and at the right time, he'll provide. Just put God first. What does the Bible say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I think we should always acknowledge that God is the one who loves us more than anyone else. We know the story of the prodigal son, don't we? The son had gone and squandered his father's wealth, squandered it with prostitutes and wasted his money, was ended up feeding pigs. And he decided it'd be better to be a servant or a slave in my dad's home than feeding these pigs. And he thought, I'll go back and see if dad will give me a job maybe. He had a wrong perception of his father, didn't he? He thought, oh, at least dad might give me a job as a slave. But he ran back to the father. He walked back to the father. And what did the father do? The father ran to him. The father loves his son so much, he ran to him. And he said, my son that was lost is now found. He was blind, but now he can see. He took his ring off and he gave it to him. He took his robe off and he gave it to him, which is a symbol of giving the whole inheritance to the son. It's saying, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I love you. Welcome home. Kill the fatted calf. Let's celebrate. That is the crazy love of our Heavenly Father for us. And when God the Father sent his son Jesus on the cross, it was his message to the world to say, I love you. I will give my one and only son. Now you guys know I've got a little 8-year-old boy named Josh. I love him dearly. I love Lydia, I love Grace, I love all my kids. But if I had to give my child for you lot, now I love you, I reckon you're pretty good, you're a good bunch, but I honestly don't know if I would give up my child for you. What a sacrifice. That is a crazy love. It doesn't make sense. But that is how great the love of the Father is for us. Because he knew there had to be a Passover lamb that was slain so that our sins could be forgiven. And Jesus became our Passover lamb so that our sins could be washed away. That is crazy love. Rick Warren said this: the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came to do three things. He came to have my past forgiven, you get a purpose for living, and a home in heaven. What a great three-point sermon that is right there. I can just pack up and go home right now. That covers the gospel, doesn't it? We need to know that God loves us, like Billy Graham said, but like Rick Warren said, he came for three things, so that our past is forgiven. You know, when you come to Christ and you ask him to forgive your sins and you're born again, all your sins are washed away. Don't drag them up again. Don't look back again. The Bible says if you're plowing a field and you look back, you'll go crooked. Don't bother looking back at your past. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. Jesus washed it away with his blood. Your past is forgiven. And then you get a purpose for living. I believe we're all put here on earth with a purpose, a reason. God has given us gifts. He's given us talents. He's given us opportunities. He's given us open doors to do what he's called us to do. Every single one of us has a purpose. I believe our number one purpose is to be worshippers of God. That's the meaning of life, to connect through our Father in heaven with a relationship through Jesus Christ. But we all have a purpose to serve, to do something for God, something in the church, something in, as a mission, whether it be in business, whether it be in the entertainment industry, whether it be in the marketplace, somewhere, whether it be a mum raising kids, every single one of us has a purpose in God. Our sins have been forgiven, we have a purpose for living, and we have a home in heaven. Isn't it good to know that Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you in heaven? You know, I remember Keith Green, the Christian singer, saying, if God created the world in 6 days, and look how beautiful the world is, but then Jesus went to prepare a place for us for 2,000 years. He's been there preparing a place for us. This might be living in a garbage dump compared to what heaven's going to be like. Amen? It's an amazing perspective to think. He's preparing a place for us in heaven. He wants to welcome us there. He's going to bless us. We get rewards in heaven for the good works we've done. You don't get saved by your good works, but you get rewarded for your good works in heaven. What an amazing thing to consider. For eternity, we have a home in heaven. And Jesus Christ said this, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You know, a lot of the people in Jesus' day thought he was coming to bring an earthly kingdom when he talked about ruling and reigning. But he was talking about a spiritual kingdom. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to realize that there's a spiritual world out there. And let's face it, the enemy is out to get us. There are demons. The enemy has sent legions and armies of demons against us to attack every one of us. But through the name of Jesus, we have authority over all of the rulers of this dark world, the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. That's the purpose that he came, so that the enemy would not rule in our lives anymore, but we can pray that his kingdom will come and we can rule and reign wherever we can have victory wherever we place our foot through the name of Jesus, through the blood of Christ. That's what we're celebrating here today on Resurrection Sunday. I love the song that we hear Michael W. Smith sing, Above All. The words say, crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone. Like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and you thought of me above all. Like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and you thought of me above all. Do you know that God is always thinking about you? Do you know God knows the number of hairs on your head, which for me isn't that much these days? You know, God knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows your words before you speak them. He is wanting to be intimately involved in every part of your life. He has a vested interest in you because you're his child. You're his son. You're his daughter. And he loves you. Oh, if every person on the planet could get that revelation. If we could get a revelation of the Father's love for us, it would change our life. It'll change the way you talk. Change the way you think about yourself. Change the way you relate to people in your marriage, and the way you raise your kids and the way you work in the workplace. The way you worship. It'd change everything if you knew how much God loves you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. No height, no depth, no width. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let's look at what the Bible says in Matthew 27, verse 50. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. If you had an understanding of how massive that verse is there, that is massive. So up until this moment in history, the way to get to God was through the high priest. They would have the temple. They'd have this big, thick curtain. They say it was like 6 inches thick, like a big, thick curtain. And there would be the outer court, there would be the inner court, and there would be the Holy of Holies. And the priest would go in there and he would sacrifice a lamb. And that's how the sins of Israel would be forgiven. That was the way to God. And what does the Bible say? And we sang it today, didn't we? Through the blood of Christ, we can come boldly into the throne room in heaven. Amen? So that was the way to get to God before this moment. And at the moment that Jesus Christ died on that cross, it's the moment that split time in half between AD and BC. It's the moment that changed history. And this is what happened. He gave up his spirit. The curtain was torn from top to bottom. It wasn't a man tearing it from bottom to top. It was God tearing the curtain, saying, I've made a way for you to come into the Holy of Holies. Anyone can come in through the blood of Christ, the Passover lamb. The earth shook. Rocks split. This is a big deal. The tombs broke open. Have a listen to this. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life, walking around the place. Now, you know, I've been there. I've been to Jerusalem. I've been to a place. I was looking at this before. He is risen. What a beautiful painting. I've been to a place where they call it the Garden Tomb. Now, they don't know if it's the exact place where Jesus was buried, but it's set up like the exact place. It's in the general vicinity. But there's a tomb. You go in and you see on the wall it says, he is not here, he is risen. And I was with 11 other pastors. We were on a tour of Israel. None of them were called Judas, thankfully. And we all sat down and we had communion together in that moment in the holy city at the Garden Tomb. And I'm going back again in October, did you know? How exciting is that? If you want to come, let me know. We are going to be having communion together there again in October. And it's actually when the next blood moon is happening. Do you know that? We're going to be there during the next blood moon. Isn't that awesome? Anyway, that's a whole other thing. I'm not going to get into that. 2,000 years later, people are still going to Jerusalem to check out this location. It's the most fought over piece of real estate in the world. The Jews want it. The Muslims want it. The UN wants it. Everyone wants it. The Christians want it. Because it's the place where it all happened. Where Golgotha, the place of the skull where Christ was crucified. You would not believe what it is now. There's a big cliff face. And you can actually see a place where there's like a mouth and two holes. And that's why it's called the place of the skull, Golgotha. Because it looks like there's a skull in the cliff. And Christ was actually crucified at the bottom of the hill, according to history. All the movies we see, it was the top of the hill and it was, you know, like the Passion of the Christ and all that. But the way they crucified people back in Christ's day was it was on a road and there was hundreds of people crucified at the same time. There was a thief on either side of him and that's why we talk about the three crosses often, but there was probably hundreds of crosses at that day. And the reason why they crucified them at the road was because people would walk past and spit on them and mock them. And the Romans would use it as an example. Behave yourself or that could happen to you. Because they had a cruel regime that was oppressing everyone in that day. And it was an example. It was a public execution. The most horrific of executions you could imagine. Nails through his hands and his feet. A crown of thorns on his head. Imagine the pain and the anguish he was going through for you so that you could be saved. You know, he didn't die on the cross just so that we could have a nice little church service every Sunday. He didn't die on the cross so that we could fit God into a little pocket in our life once a week. He died on the cross so that your life would be transformed, so that you would be born again, a new creation, so that your whole life would be focused around this moment in history right here. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and they exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." These events in history, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, are still one of the most talked about, disputed, argued about, moments in history. But after 2,000 years, we know the Word of God is the truth, don't we? We know it is true. And you know one of the reasons I know it's true? It's because of that guy there, Jason Kennedy. I saw him 2 years ago before he came to know Jesus, and I saw him after he gave his heart to Jesus. And I know Jesus is alive because of what Jesus has done in that guy's life and in Cecily's life. I've seen Cecily grow in her faith in Jesus over the last 8 years that I've known her. Jesus is alive because of what he's doing in Cecily's life today. I see it in Adam's life over here. Adam has had time in prison. He's been a drug addict. He's had all sorts of troubles in his life. He shared his testimony here a few weeks ago. Jesus is alive because of what's happened in Adam's life, because of what's happened in my life. And I could go around this room, and the best evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a transformed life. Someone who was blind, but now they can see. Someone who was dead, but now they've come to life. Someone who was lost, but now has been found. Jesus didn't just die for us to have an average, lukewarm life. Jesus didn't go through this price so we could have a little religious service occasionally. It's not about religion and tradition. It's about a relationship with the risen Savior, amen? A basketball in my hands is worth about $25. A basketball in Michael Jordan's hands is worth about $33 million. A tennis racket isn't really worth much in my hands, but a tennis racket in Leighton Hewitt's hands is worth a Wimbledon championship. Just depends whose hands it's in. A rod in my hands might keep away a rabid dog, but a rod in Moses' hands can part the Red Sea. A slingshot in my hands is just like a kid's toy. A slingshot in David's hand is a weapon to destroy a national enemy. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hands is a couple of fish sandwiches. Two fish and five loaves of bread in God's hands can feed thousands. It all depends whose hands it's in. Nails in my hands, I might be able to build a fence. Nails in Jesus' hands can produce salvation for the entire world. Because it all depends whose hands it's in. Put your concerns, your worries, your fears, your hopes, your families, your relationships in God's hands. Because it's only in His hands we can depend on Him. Whose hands are you in today? When you are in the hands of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, you have a purpose. You have a reason to live. You've got a destiny that God has for your life. Have you put yourself in the hands of the Savior today? Have you entrusted your whole life to Him? You know, the Lord gave me a vision at the start of this year of the hearts of the people in our church. And it was like a house. Many of us had invited Christ in to the family room and maybe into the kitchen, maybe into the bedroom. But there were many other rooms in the house that we'd closed the door and we hadn't welcomed him into our whole house. I want to ask you the question today, is Jesus your Lord of your whole house, or have you only let him into a couple of rooms in your life? Jesus didn't die on the cross so he could just sit in your lounge room and you could visit him every now and then. He died on the cross because he wants to possess your whole house. You need to lose your life for Christ if you want to find it. You need to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. Not a lukewarm relationship, not a half-hearted relationship, not a little bit on a Sunday morning and live like you want for the rest of the week. The eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro across the earth, seeking for those whose hearts are fully committed towards him. Have you invited him into your whole house today? Friends, in Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, Peter got up and preached what I believe is the best gospel sermon ever. I'm going to read a bit of it to you now. I want you to consider the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider how much you've embraced it. Consider how much you've shared it with your friends and family this Easter. He stood up in Acts chapter 2 in verse 22 and he said, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to God, to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep a hold of him. Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number this day. Friends, that's the first altar call, the first crusade, the first evangelistic rally that I can think of in the Bible. And the Apostle Peter was full of the Holy Spirit when he shared that today. People were cut to the heart. Friends, that's my heart and my prayer every time I open the Word of God and preach and teach the Word of God, every time I speak to someone. I know it's not about me. It's about Jesus and God's Holy Spirit moving on people's hearts. Because it's only by God that people can be saved. It's only by His Holy Spirit that people can come to know Jesus. And friends, I want to urge you today. Two things. Number one, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you given your life fully to Him? Are you born again? Are you a new creation? Do you know that you have a place in heaven? Don't waste another moment without getting your heart right with God. The second question I have to ask is, have you shared this gospel? Now, I know some people in the church are gifted as evangelists, and that's their bent, and that's their leaning, and that's what they focus on. But we shouldn't just rely on the evangelist to preach the gospel, because all of us are called to preach the gospel. All of us are called to do the work of an evangelist, to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. And this Easter weekend, I want to challenge you. Tell your friends and family about your testimony of what Jesus has done in your life. They can't argue with it. No one can argue with your life testimony, can they? Tell them your story. My grandpa passed away 2 weeks ago. I went to his funeral, and I was able to share with my family how I'd been able to pray with him. And I believe he gave his heart to Jesus in those last days, and he's now in heaven. I'm glad that we made the effort in the last days. My brother, who's a born-again Christian, was able to sit with him as he slipped away into eternity 2 weeks ago. And he was praying with him. What an answer to prayer for my family. He was a stubborn, hard-hearted man against God for many years. He attacked me many times for being a preacher of the gospel. But I didn't let it stop me from sharing the truth with him, because I knew it's up to God to save him, not up to me to convince him. I just had to give him the message. and then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. And God used my older brother to do it. Praise God. Friends, who is your grandpa that you need to reach out to? Is it your uncle? Is it your auntie? Is it your neighbours? Is it your workmates? This church should be full today. We should be filled every Sunday with people that we are winning to Christ. It's great to have an opportunity to give people's hearts to Jesus at the end of each service here. That's a wonderful thing. We'll do this forever because we are a harvest church. That's a big focus for us. But we shouldn't rely on the Sunday service. We should be sharing the fragrance of Christ wherever we go. We should be sharing this gospel message. We should know it. We should be able to share our testimony. We should be able to pray for the sick and see them healed. We should be able to see signs and wonders confirming the preaching of the Word of God wherever we go. Friends, Jesus is coming back soon. And He's coming back for a glorious bride. A bride that is fully functioning in their spiritual gifts, that know their purpose and are giving their lives for Christ. That's my challenge to you this Easter. Are you giving your all for Christ? Are you full of passion and fire of the Holy Spirit? Don't waste another moment without being full on for Jesus this Easter. Let's win some souls this weekend. It's the best time of the year to talk about Jesus. I actually read that 82% of people that are invited to church at Easter come to church. Just tell them, you know, we're having another Easter message next week. Invite them next week as well, you know. The Bible says make the most of every opportunity. Every opportunity you get, bring your friends and family to church. Share the gospel with them. Pray for them. Give them a DVD. Tell them to watch the Bible series. It's on Gem at the moment. Each night this week, I think it's on. Do whatever you can. Make the most of every opportunity to share the gospel. Peter had a passion and a fire in his belly when he shared this. But he knew he just had to deliver the message and that God would do the rest. Amen. Let's pray as we invite the worship team to come. Heavenly Father, You know the hearts of all those that are here today. You know where each one of us is at, Lord God. And You have abundant grace and mercy for each one of us, no matter what we've been through in this life. Your blood is enough to wash away our sins. You have offered Your Holy Spirit to each one of us. And You said in Your Word, all you've got to do is ask, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I pray that if there's anyone here today that needs to give their heart to You, that You will come and touch their hearts right now. With every eye closed and every head bowed today, if today is your day to give your heart to Jesus, you want to make sure your heart is right with God and you want to be born again, you want to make sure you've got that place in heaven and that relationship with Jesus Christ in your life, if you want to give your heart to God right now, every eye closed, no one looking around, just slip up your hand and say, yes, I'm giving my heart to Jesus today. Is there anyone here today that would say, yes, I want to give my heart to Jesus? I'll just give you a moment. Just slip up your hand right now. That's good, mate. I see that. That's awesome. Is there anyone else? Just slip up your hand high so I can see it. Say, yes, Jesus, I want to give my heart to You today. Okay, with every eye closed while we keep praying now, do you feel like that vision about the house challenge you today? Do you feel like you've only invited God into a couple of rooms, but you need to invite Him into every part of your life? Maybe there's been some doors that have been closed in your life and you've been pushing Jesus out of those doors so that He can't come in. Maybe you want to say, God, I want You to fill every part of my house today. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit afresh today. If that's you today, you want to recommit yourself to God, just slip up your hand. Say, yes, God, come in. Come in. Yeah, hands up all over the place. Let's all stand to our feet as we worship. Just want to read out this short poem before we close today. It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bid, good people? He cried. Who starts the bidding for me? $1, $1, do I hear two? $2, who makes it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the room far back, a grey-bearded man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, He played a melody pure and sweet as the angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for this old violin?" as he held it aloft with its bow. 1,000, 1,000, do I hear two? 2,000, who makes it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going and gone," said he. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, "We don't understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. And a man with life out of tune, all battered with bourbon and gin, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, he is going twice, he is going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Friends, no matter how battered you are, no matter how messed up you are, no matter what troubles you've had in your life, when you receive a touch of the master's hand, God can bring beauty out of the ashes. God can resurrect anything. Let me just say that again. That's a good line. God can resurrect anything. Amen? Let's put out our hands and let's just reach out to God. Heavenly Father, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would fill us today. Fill every room in our house today, Lord God. We need a touch of the Master's hand today. We want to offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice today, holy and pleasing unto you. God, fill us with the Holy Spirit so we can be just like Peter, so we can preach the gospel with power. So even when our shadow falls across people, people will be healed instantly. Give us a fresh touch of your anointing today. May we win souls this week. May we be bold this week. May we see miracles this week. Jesus, use us to be your end times army before your glorious return. We thank you for your death and resurrection. We thank you that you can resurrect anything today.
Yes.
Raise us up to be the men and women of God you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. And just as we worship now, I'd like to invite you to come. If you raised your hand today and you said, "God, I want you to fill every room in my life," I'd invite you to come. We'll have our prayer team out here as well. If Cecily and Janet, Yetta, Adam, some of our prayer team, would you come? And Mark, if you'd come as well. We'll pray for you today, for you to receive a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Let's worship him.